And we need that. But and I'm not trying to be a pessimist at all, because I'm not one. But just according to what I've read in this Bible, we best get used to what we're in right now. When I say used to it, we better be getting closer to God. I've been preaching on faith for 2 years at my church. God laid it on my heart over 2 years ago to preach on faith. Now I see why. Our people now, the church needs to live by faith more than anything in this world, because we need to trust God, and there's a lot of things happening. But I'm not here to be a pessimist. I'm here to tell you that we've got joy and victory in Jesus, and that's where it all centers around. And that's what we need to settle in on that. Amen. Now I'm going to read a verse to you tonight. I got several here I want to read. I don't want you to run with me. Let me read them. You just listen to me. Then we'll go back to Romans chapter number 12. I'll end up right there. But I want to preach a little bit to you tonight on a subject. You know, it's amazing how that salvation. I'm a salvation preacher. I try to bring the gospel in to most all my preaching. Our churches get really excited about being saved, and I'm glad I can raise a shout in our church with talking about salvation. I got some old saints of God, and they'll walk around and raise their hands and get happy, and I like that. Amen. When we talk about that salvation. And preach about it. And a lot of churches think the preacher ought to preach about salvation every service. And I'll tell you a reason why for that in just a minute. But salvation is a great thing, and it's wonderful. And we ought to praise God about it. And then there's another thing that our churches get really excited about, and that's glorification. See, glorification is when this thing's over. It's when this journey's done. Now, I'm like this right here. I'm on a journey. You're on a journey. If you're saved, we're going to heaven. And I'm ready anytime it's ready. I'm ready. I'm not necessarily saying I'm running around saying, you know, like Maze Jackson said that one time. I know y'all probably have heard Maze Jackson said this. He said, all y'all talk about going to heaven. And he said, and you get one little pain and you say, oh, call 911. He said, if you really meant what you really said, you'd say, hit me again, Lord, hit me again. But we don't really say that. We holler 911. So I'm like the 911 guy. I mean, really, if I get these pains, just call ambulance and help me out. But I am ready. And our journey will be over when we get to that point. Salvation. That's a one-time situation. They can't be anything added to that. Once that happens, it's done. It's a settled situation. Glorification is a one-time thing. Once it's done, it's done. Hallelujah. But there's a middle part here that we don't hear much about much anymore. In this middle part, matter of fact, one of the guys back there in the sound booth, somebody, one of them said, what are you preaching tonight? Heaven? I just sat there. Said, what are you going to preach about? Hell? I said, well, I might be a little in between them. Because, you know, it's amazing how that we really like to preach, and we like to get excited about being saved, and that's great. And we like to get excited about glorification, going to heaven. That's a great thing too. But we've kind of shied away from that middle section. And that middle section is called sanctification. And that's where we are lacking in our day. I don't have time to go into a whole lot of details about a lot of things because I want to get right into this and preach it and let you go home. But I want to say to you tonight, our church, the church, has lost its place in our country. I could say the world, but I don't know a whole lot about the world, but I do know about America. Our church has lost its place, its power, It's authority. It's stand. It's testimony. There was a cliche that started years ago. Y'all probably have heard it. If you hadn't, I'm going to be the one to tell you what the cliche was. The saying was this. This is what the saying was. And it has so affected our church. The saying was, God looks at the heart. That's all He's concerned about. And that saying has so infiltrated our churches through the years to where now even independent fundamental Baptists have come to the place to where we're saying it doesn't really matter about how we are so much. God looks at our heart as long as we're sincere. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And that's where we're missing a whole lot of the blessings of God. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures to you. I'm going to flip to them. I got them here, and I can get to them pretty quick. You don't have to turn with me. You just listen as I read them. But I want to read them because it's important. I want to start off by reading in Peter. The Bible says in chapter 2. Now, just bear with me because I like to read my scriptures a little in the front here, and then I just labor in them for a few minutes. In chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up sacrificial sacrifices or spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? That's what he says we are. Verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. Y'all know these verses. Preacher preaches on them probably all the time. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And then over in Corinthians, let me read these verses here to you. Now listen, it's going to get down now a little bit, so you need to kind of stay with me. Know ye not, Paul said, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. In other words, we are the temple of God. It's not this building. Now, I'm a church house believer. I honestly am. I believe that holy place, set aside, sanctified. I think it's been abused. That's another reason we're in a mess. All of this is centered around what I'm going to try to preach to you in just a minute. But I'm saying this place is holy. This is a holy place. But this is not the church. This is not the temple. The Holy Ghost just don't stay here. The Holy Ghost lives in every believer. My body is a temple of the Spirit of God. Your body is a temple 24/7. When you got born again and your sins were forgiven and the Holy Ghost saved you, washed you, quickened you, redeemed you, He sealed you with His presence one time forever. You are saved for eternity. That's it. Now, after that, in Ephesians chapter 2, I have those scriptures, I'll just quote them right here. In Ephesians, these are verses that we all know, but we don't like to do this middle section. We like, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Hallelujah. I didn't have to die on the cross. He did. That's why we shout a lot too. I didn't have to pay the price. It was given to me. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then it goes on down with other verses. And then the preceding, the verses from 1 to 8 in that same chapter tells our condition. And it tells everything that God did in those 15 verses or so verses right there. But the key in that thing was, is after He does that work in us, in salvation, He then begins to work on us in our bodies. And that's why He says here, listen to what He said. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God. Now see, this is amazing to me. How we excuse so much. This is the Word of God, the King James Bible, that we believe and we shout about. Amen? But I look at this and it says this. It says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Is that not amazing? You want to make some Baptists mad? Preach on smoking. You want to make some Baptists mad? Preach on Amen. And I could, if you want to make some Baptists mad, preach on 5 Big Macs. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. Now I'm not going to go into all of these things because you can make a sin and destroy your body with a lot of things. Now the Bible says if you mess with this temple, God, and what He says, He'll destroy. That's a strong word. Destroy. He'll destroy you if you defy this temple. In other words, the importance of God's body that He bought. Are you listening to me? That's how important it is. We don't hear much of this anymore. We don't hear much about how important this body is because we have bent and leaned over into that cliche of God looks at the heart. And because God looks at the heart, we can just do as we please. And now we're in a mess that we can't get out of. And it's going to take a supernatural meeting with God's Holy Ghost through our churches to get us out of this mess. And it's going to take a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost in us to get us to obey Him. I'll show you that in just a minute. Just bear with me for a minute as I read to you a little bit. Then I'm going back. Now listen to these verses right here. What? Paul acts shocked. He's got a question. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? And then the next verse. For ye are bought with a price. That's what he says. Therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. Really, these verses, they have so much meaning in them to help us. Now I'm going to slip back over to Romans chapter 12 for just a few minutes. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? And that's amazing now. I think I know my Bible enough to say this, and I don't have time to get into it to explain it to you. But when we become a child of God, we took on the roles of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. We did. I don't have to have a priest. I have been made a priest. I can go into the Holy of Holies. Hebrews tells me by the blood that He shed, I am of the priesthood of believers. But do you know what a priest did in the Old Testament? Watch this. You know what a priest did? Now listen to this verse, because see, you might not have ever looked at it in this slant here now. We have got a place now. We've been made a priest. God made us a priest for a reason. And the reason is right here. Now listen what He said. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now what does a priest do? Offers a sacrifice. You listening to me? So in our priestly priesthood benefit that God made us, we have the responsibility of offering up the sacrifice of our own body. It's amazing. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, in this thought that I'm trying to get you to see tonight, I'm going to give you this right here. There's three things that'll never change. Never. It'll never change. They will never change. There's three things that will never change. The first thing is this. The world will never change. Do you know what? It's amazing how the church is trying to get the world to love them. It's amazing how the church is trying to get the world to buddy up with us. Jesus said, the world hated me, so it's going to hate you. The world is our enemy. The world means the philosophy. And this philosophy has infiltrated our churches, and we're in trouble because of it. The second thing that God will never change, He will never change our depraved nature. Are y'all listening? You don't get better and better. Whenever you grow in grace, that depraved nature never gets any better. That depraved nature is full of sin, lust, and that depraved nature is a hater of the things of God. That's that old nature. That's why when the Holy Spirit came in, God gave us a new nature. That's where the battle comes in, the war that Paul talked about, that we're all involved in. And what he is saying here is, he is saying that this depraved nature that we were born with will never be eradicated until the trumpet sounds. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when we are changed, then this Adamic nature will be gone. Or when it's our time in this journey to lay ourselves down, breathe our last breath, and when that last breath is breathed, then this depraved nature is done away with. Hallelujah. But until then, it'll never, ever get straightened out. See, so many times people, we get hung up in fighting the world. We get hung up in fighting our own lust. And listen, we forget the main thing is the Holy Ghost has to help us do that. The third thing, it'll never change. Never will change. Never going to change. Is Satan. Satan will never change till Revelation. He ain't going to change then, but he'll be out of our hair, because the Bible says he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever with the false prophet and the Antichrist and the whole crowd. And we'll never be bothered with him again. Hallelujah. We'll never be bothered with our depraved nature again. Then in Revelation, he said he's going to burn this place up and make a brand new earth and a new heaven. And we'll never be bothered with the world again. Hallelujah. But until then, you ever heard those words? We still got the world, and we still got the devil, and we still got our depraved nature. Is that not amazing? Now here's what God knew. God knew that these three would still be hanging around. He knew when He saved us and left us here that we'd have to deal with them. He knew that. That's why He lives in us. That's why he said to us in this very book of Romans here, to present our bodies. I wrote this down right here. And I don't know if it fits here or not, but it's beautiful. Whenever the priest in the Old Testament, before they went into the place to offer the sacrifices, they got into the laver and they bathed. Then when they got out of that, that was to take off all the dirt, whatever. And then you know what happened after that happened? They clothed them, and I wrote it down, in glorious apparel. Is that not beautiful? You know what? Do you know what sanctification is? Sanctification is when you and I are laid on an altar. We give God everything. We want cleaned up. And on the inside, He starts cleaning. But on the outside, it starts producing a body with glorious apparel, glorious standards, glorious look. In other words, the old saints of God walk around with a glow on their face. Moses came off the mountain had to put a hood over his head because they couldn't stand to look at him. Whenever Jesus was translated up on the mountain, the disciples couldn't look. It's that glow about us. It's that glorious apparel, not clothes, but that Shekinah glory of God that resides on a believer in their walk in this world. Boy, if we've ever needed it, man, we need it now. When we're at the supermarket and we meet people, we need this Shekinah glory. We need this spirit about us that people say when we walk off, my, I don't know what it was about them, but there was something there. Makes them hungry. We're going back now. I'm going to tell you how it's gotten, though. 75% of the country Western singers, are, quote, Christian. Y'all listen to them. Don't say amen right there. Are y'all with me? 75% or so of our, quote, country Western singers claim to be saved. But they've never left the bar rooms, the taverns, Sunday. It means nothing to a bunch of them, to most of them. Their life is all messed up. Their apparel, their looks, everything they involved in is still the same. You know why? Because, now I'm not going to say that a lot of them aren't saved. But you know what's missing in their whole life? It's that word sanctification. Look at all the ball players. Many of them claim to be saved. I'm not doubting that. They claim to be saved. But they have no respect for the Lord's Day. But we have okayed that too. Because we like to watch them play. We've okayed that because they write John 3:16 on their head. But as far as a testimony, as far as a sacrificial instrument of God, I could go all the way down to the race car. Any of them. It seems like our world, even the rock and roll world. And don't say too much about that now. Because this newfangled church stuff that we got is nothing but rock. Because we dropped the standard. We've let the gate down. We've okayed it. It's our fault. It's our fault because we've let the bar down. We've agreed and we've walked on and we've skirted around. And our churches don't want to hear, "Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come ye out from among them, saith the Lord. Be ye holy, as I am holy, saith the Lord. Be set apart. That's what sanctification means. It means set apart. Whenever they offered that sacrifice in the Old Testament, and they put it on that altar, when it hit that altar, it had no will of its own. Whenever we in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, present our bodies a living sacrifice as a priesthood of the believers, and we lay ourselves down on an altar, and we put ourselves there for the help, the work of God, God said, take all hands off of it. It's mine. It's my sacrifice now. What did he say in Corinthians? Know ye not? Know ye not that you've been bought with a price? You're not your own. But until we're on an altar, we are our own. We call the shots in our life. We make the decisions for everything. We suffer through some of our decisions, and we glory in some of our decisions, because that's just the way life is. We're running it. We have good days. We have bad days. And in a lot of what we do, God is nowhere around it. Then we sometimes get our plan, and then we take it to God. And we give it to God. And God does not know more interested in that than anything. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, I'm not trying to be a pessimist here tonight. And I knew this wasn't going to be a real shouty message. But it could be. It could be whenever we finally realize that our life is to be pleasing to Him. Are y'all listening? Pleasing to Him. And not to be run by myself. You can read in the book of Galatians over there. In the book of Galatians, it is full in the book of Galatians. Let me just read this to you right here real quick. And then I'll get back over here and I'll finish. In Galatians, listen to this. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Now that's what we're doing. That's where the battle is, the fight. Then it says this, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I mean, listen, I have no doubt that everybody in this building wants to do right with God. I have no doubt about that. But you and I can't do right with God if we're not sacrificing ourselves on His altar. We have to dedicate our life to Him. We have to give our life to Him and trust Him wholly for everything. I'm going to be honest with you. That's a hard thing to do. Now, I'm just going to tell you. That's not something that just happens. That's something that you really, I hate to say this, you got to work at that. It calls labor. Now, your salvation has no works at all in you. God did all of that. But this sanctification thing is hard. I've heard people say this. I might have even made a few statements like this when I was a little bit younger. You don't have to do a thing. The Holy Ghost will do everything if you'll just let Him. But that's not really right. Because first of all, He's got to have you where He can work on you. If He don't have you, He can't work. If we don't present ourselves, and there is a place called an altar. It's not a church altar. It's an altar in our heart and our life that we put ourselves on every day, ma'am. Every day. Because I'll be honest with you, I've had me on there, and sometime during the night, I don't know how it happens, but I crawl off. Sometimes I hear the Holy Ghost saying, where are you? Y'all understand? So we have to do this every day. Now listen to what He says. He said, the flesh and the contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now listen to this right here. Now the works of the flesh are manifest of these. Adultery. Fornication. Fornication is sex outside of marriage in any form. Sex between a man and a woman. Sex between two women. Sex between two men. It doesn't matter. It's sex. Bestiality. It doesn't matter. Fornication covers a multitude of sin. And I'm just going to tell you right now, we're dealing with this like an epidemic in our churches. Churches! We're dealing with this. You know why? Because our churches are living fleshly. And when we live like that, you can't help, God said, you can't help but have adultery, and you can't help but have fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such of the like. I will tell you, as I've told you in time past, that these people have a hard, hard mess in their life. Now, all of this flesh stuff and this world stuff, all of this is in our lives if we're not being sanctified. Like in a revival. And I'm a pastor. I have men come in and preach. We have called meetings. But we're trying to revive people that's not on the altar. You can't, that doesn't happen. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to start tithing. Oh, that's good, but tithing don't sanctify you. Well, I'm going to be more faithful at church. Well, that's good, but being more faithful at church does not sanctify you. That's a choice you've made to do, and it doesn't last long anyway. But whenever God, the Holy Ghost, gets your life, you'll tithe. You'll come to church. You'll separate from this world. It won't be all at one time, but it'll be a work of grace and work of God in your life, and you will. Every one of us are on a journey. We're on a journey. I heard a preacher say when I was just starting, he said, you're in this race whether you like it or not. You entered it when you got saved. So you're in it whether you want to be there or not. But boy, it's amazing too. It's amazing, and it sounds so complicated. And I know that. And I'm up here preaching, listening to myself. People don't know we do that, but I'm listening to me preach to you. I'm listening to what I'm saying, and it sounds so complicated. When really, it's not. When really, it's just whenever a person comes to a place in their life to where they say, I want God to run my life. And I'm going to present myself to God. I'm going to lay myself on an altar. And then when I lay myself down, I'm going to fight the hardest fight of my life. And that's take my hands off of me. Because, buddy, that's hard. Is it not hard? Oh, it's hard. And we're so accustomed. Our church people, all of us, are so accustomed in running our life. It's hard to let it go. It's hard to let somebody else, even God, have control of our life. Because, see, whenever you give yourself to God, He says to you, hands off now. I heard a preacher preach, Billy McLean was his name. This has been years ago. He preached this message, are you willing to be a Lazarus? Now, you need to think about that for just a second. Somebody had to be a Lazarus. Somebody had to sit at a gate full of sores that the dogs licked. Are y'all listening to me? Somebody had to. How many missionaries have we read about that went into a foreign country and going in, they never got a convert. They never got anything. But you know what they did? They lost their life to the natives or to the elements as they were going in. And they died before they even got to go in there and do anything. But because of their death, another one came on over. Because of their blood that was shed, it inspired others to keep coming. And listen, that one, it was starting out way back yonder at the opening of the door into a country or a tribe back yonder who died because of wild animals or spears or arrows or elements. Others have came over them because they started. Now the gospel's preached all over that place. Somebody had to be that one. Oh, it's great to be this one and see multitudes get saved. It's great to be able to write and say, we ran across a tribe that knew no white people or knew nothing about God, and we're having conversions. We just want you to pray for us as we're giving the gospel. They're hungry. That's a lot different than the one that's over here that's trying to face getting in. That's hundreds of miles from that place, or 50 miles from that place, or 5 miles from that place. And they have the same desire. They have the same burden. They had the same call as that one over yonder had. They had the same family. They had the same burden to get the gospel to them. But something stopped them. But God used what stopped them to keep motivating others to come. Somebody has to be willing to let God use them for whatever He wants. Now, we'll be honest with y'all right now. The average carnal Christian can't handle that. I have a problem with it. I'm just being flat honest with you. That doesn't mean that everybody that sacrifices themselves to God and lays herself on the altar is going to be sitting somewhere on a street corner full of sores and wishing a dog would lick their sores. And it don't necessarily mean you're going to die before you ever get to do anything good for God. I'm just giving you some extreme illustrations that are real. Are y'all with me? God has one big desire, that all men be saved. Did y'all know that? We are His trophies of grace. He saved us to win Packlet. But if this church and Brother Pickle's church and those churches around this area that's got the truth, if we're not sacrificed in sanctification, wherever we go, people know it. They know. They know if we're crooked. They know if we go to the cash register at Walmart and get back change that we shouldn't have got back and we never say a word about it. They know that. They know when you go into a restaurant and you're the grouchiest one that's in the whole restaurant. They know that. Are y'all with me right now? I heard talk. We went to the Sheraton up at the radio station this week, my wife and the kids, and we heard, the kids didn't go with us, but they was in school, but we heard Todd Bell preach. And Brother Todd Bell, he said, yeah, he said, I got these. He's up in North Maine up there, you know, and there's a different crowd of people. I don't have time to explain that to you. Yankees, you know what I'm saying. That's okay. Y'all all right. I always kid that way. It's okay. Here's the thing. No, don't leave, sir. Come, sit down. Sit down, sir. Now, here's the thing right here. Now, listen. He said he was working with one of his men here recently. He said, this doing something. He said, the man hit something or done something. And he just swore out loud. And the preacher said, Todd Bell said, I looked at him and I said, brother, you just swore. That means he said a bad word. He said, yeah, I know it. He said, right here on the church property, in front of me, the preacher, you just swore right out. He said, he looked at me and said, well, I'm doing better than I used to. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. That's the way we ought to look at it. You know why? Because we're all being sanctified. He said he's learning. He's just trying to do right with God. He said, I couldn't say a thing when he looked at me and said, well, preacher, I'm doing a lot better. That's honesty. You understand? But we try to fake. We might not cuss around the preacher, but we'll cuss somewhere else. Woo! Boy, that hit a nerve. Are y'all with me? Huh? I ain't saying you ought to cuss around the preacher either. I mean, try to control it the best you can. But that's the whole thing. this whole thing about living for God is spiritual. It's not fleshly. And growing in grace is exciting. And it don't mean you're automatically there. You could be very going pretty good today, and tomorrow you could be way back where you started. That's why 1 John 1:9 says you better just keep that in your book. Keep it on your lips, because you're going to use it, your journey. Because we're going to sin. Now, we don't have to sin. I told my wife, I told her the other day, I said, you know, I've gotten a habit of agreeing with people over lies. I have gotten a habit of that. It just comes out, sister. They'll say, oh, you know, preacher, they ain't none of us perfect, you know. And I'll go, yeah, you know, you're right. That ain't right. That's wrong. That is wrong. I just condone their wickedness. The Bible says we don't have to sin. Now, it don't mean we can kill sin and never sin again and live above it, but we can sure enough do a lot less than what we do. And our anger and our lying and our fussing and our wicked lookings and doings can change. The Holy Ghost can change that if we'll just allow Him to do it. It's called sanctification. It's called what we all ought to be involved in, is sanctification. Now, let me say this, and I'll tell y'all, it's not late. I know y'all been wanting to turn around and look. I know that. But I've been watching it too. But we're okay. We're all right. So everybody just hold on now. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to give you, I've already preached, so don't think I'm getting ready to preach my message. I've been preaching to you the whole time. I'm just wanting to share some things with you tonight. Really, this is very important to me. It's important because we talk about people getting saved, the preacher, the burden. But there needs to be a channel where the Holy Spirit can work free through us. But when we're fleshly and got all kind of stuff going on in us, it grieves the Spirit. And I'm not trying to blame anybody for anybody leaving lost, because people leave lost all the time in our churches. And it's not necessarily because we're cold or we're wicked or whatever. But it does help when they're spiritual people. It does help. Now, watch this. There's these words. I'm going to just say them real fast and you just listen to them. The first word in these verses is beseech. He begs them. Is that not amazing that we have to be begged? I don't have to stay there long. Your pastor's probably used this so many times. Begged. Somebody says, why does a preacher preach all the time on this right here? Because we have to beg. That's why we have revivals. Somebody asked John R. Rice one time, says, why do y'all Baptists have so many revivals? And if y'all know anything about John R. Rice, he was just straight to the point. He says, because we leak. That's the honest truth. We can get revived this week. If we ain't careful, some of us has got bigger holes than others, though. Some of us leaks out pretty quick. And some of us leaks out a little slower. Amen? But we leak. That's why we ought to have 3 or 4 a year. But he said, I beg you, I beseech you, that you present your bodies. And I'm going to be honest with you right here too, because this is what we're dealing with. We blame the devil and we blame our depraved nature and we blame the world a lot of times for our situation. But I'll be honest with you, a lot of times it's just because we like to be the ruler. We like it. That's a real strong self right there. We like it. That's bad. That's really bad. He said here, He called them brethren, meaning they were saved. Bodies, not just your heart. God's got your heart, but your body's what He wants. And when He gets you on that altar, your spirit, because He says, glorify God in your body and your spirit. Then your spirit can use our bodies. Amen. Present. You know what the word present is? I always get tickled because I don't know a whole lot about my critics, you know, language and stuff like that, and verbs and pronouns and nouns and all these kind of things, you know. But that word present also is the same spelling of another word, present. So He says here, make a present of your body to God. Now you can say it says present it, that's right. But make it a present. Give a present to God. Amen? Then listen to this, conformed. In this world, I'm not getting into that. I done tapped on a lot of that. I don't have to do it right now, and your preacher covers that a lot. On conformed, being like the world. Don't be like the world, but you can't help it if the Spirit of God's not in control. Are y'all with me? And then renewing. It's really something else, isn't it? You hear all these people talk about being saved. But when it comes to the sanctification part, we have very little of that anymore. That doesn't mean, and I'm not crashing on y'all. I'm not saying y'all are terrible and there ain't a one of you in here that's not worldly. I ain't saying that. I'm just saying, over the board, we've got a problem. And there's nothing wrong with getting happy about going to heaven. I think we should. There's nothing wrong with getting happy about glorifying and being glorified and being with Jesus forever. Hallelujah. I shout about that too. But the middle of the sandwich here is very important. Because this world needs to see a sanctified group of people. That's what the world needs to see. And that's what we ought to be. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Preacher, whoever you have to come and sing.